Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll hear from Bill Callahan as he decides on Dwayne Haskins' long-term future as a starter this season. And Matt Patricia in hot water from the NFL on how he handled Matt Stafford's injury this past week. That's coming up this morning on the show this hour. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up with your trashes by dialing us up at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Joining us, though, on the show is a man that can help us explain what is going to go on tonight in the college football playoff rankings. He is the host of various shows on CBS and CBS Sports Network, including College Football Today and Inside College Football. You see him on the SEC on CBS Weekly. And this past week, a lot of eyeballs on LSU and Bama, which lived up to the hype. He's going to join Brian Jones and Kevin Carter this Saturday to break down Florida Mizzou and Georgia Auburn. Our friend Adam Zucker. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Is this the start of your show? I'm not used to this. This is high billing.
This is the top of the second hour. So,
oh, I mistimed it.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, you're on the wrong time zone. So, we'll,
I guess you should say thanks for listening.
We'll talk to you later, and hopefully catch up with you later. We're going to get to Alabama and LSU here momentarily. However, number one, there's a lot of arguments for a lot of teams at number four tonight. I think we all know what one, two, and three are going to be. Who would you put at number four tonight?
Well, if you go with the recency bias of Bama losing at home and not looking like a top 10 team in the first half, especially the final couple minutes of it, then you could put Oregon fourth because their one loss was, you know, neutral field to Auburn week one. And even if Auburn's not going to be in the playoff, there's still a solid two-loss team that's scratching at the top 10. So you could put Oregon there. But I would not be surprised at all if, as a result of the rally, as a result of human nature and some tradition, if Alabama is just gone from three to four in those rankings tonight. But I would say either Alabama or Oregon. I would have trouble putting Georgia there at this point.
Now, isn't that problematic if they keep Alabama at number four? Granted, in all likelihood, they wouldn't have a 13th game unless LSU collapses here. But if that's the case, then Alabama could stay at number four, I guess, up until the championship weekend. And perhaps even at that point, slip in. Wouldn't it be problematic if Alabama could look like that in the first half last week and still stay within the top four, only drop two slots?
Absolutely. First of all, yeah, I mean, it could be problematic. But Alabama's kind of been the king of the team that doesn't get to the conference championship game, hangs out on the sideline, and then gets into the playoff because everybody else takes on too much carnage, and there's separation in other conferences or within the SEC like we've had in the past where Georgia flipped the script on Auburn in their SEC title matchup, and Alabama ends up beating Georgia in the championship game for the whole thing. So, you know, the committee's different every year, but we had that year where TCU was sitting pretty in the three hole, and everybody was quacking about the TCU-Baylor game and all that unfolded. And then when the final rankings came out, TCU had been dropped all the way to sixth in the final week. So things can change. They can elevate teams for winning conference championships, although what they still do is They just people think that conference championships get you extra points. They don't. It's only when they can't decide between two, three, or four teams, and they're trying to figure out, okay, where does this team have an edge? Was there a head-to-head meeting? No. Well, they were a conference champion. That should count for something. But otherwise, it's one giant eye test. And Alabama benefits from it being an eye test, as do any programs who are, you know, traditional powers or have players and even coaches who year after year deliver. So, you know, we've seen Ohio State get in when people said maybe they shouldn't, and we've seen them get left out at the same juncture. So, you know, you could make the argument that Georgia could have been in the playoff last year as a two-loss team, just based on one being one of the four best teams or not. So it's a big puzzle, and some people miss the computers. I don't, and I prefer it all being human.
Yeah, I like it this way as well, far better. Adam Zucker joins us from the SEC on CBS and CBS Sports Network. I think the issue is a couple of years ago when Alabama did not win its own championship, didn't win its own division, and went to the college football playoff, I could confidently say they were one of the four best teams of the country, and so you got to put them in the playoff. Ultimately, they won the national championship. After Saturday, I can't say definitively they're one of the four best teams of the country. I mean, they've got the right helmet, they've got the right coach, but they haven't beaten anybody this year. And they fell behind at home by 20 points to LSU. Granted, LSU's great. But how could you hang your hat on the evidence this year that Alabama's one of the four best teams of the country? To this point in time, there's no evidence that that's the case, is there?
There is no evidence. There's only the guesswork of when I rank my teams for the AP every week, I just think, okay, who would I take on a neutral field, Alabama or Oregon? And I lean back, and on that one, I'm 50-50 right now. That's why I think they're 4-5. But I wouldn't take Georgia to beat Alabama. I wouldn't take Utah, Minnesota, Penn State, or Oklahoma. Maybe Oklahoma in an all-out shootout, kind of like what we just saw. But Oklahoma has its own problems, defensively specifically. But what I said at halftime, sitting on the sideline of that game on CBS Saturday, was this reminds me of the Clemson game. Alabama can't stop LSU's offense. They got into a little bit of a panic. They tried to go for something before the half and ended up giving up another touchdown. So, you know, no. Now, that second half was unbelievable, and I was convinced that Alabama was going to win the game. Once they got within six, I thought, okay, they're going to make that defensive stop now. They had a couple moments where they were getting to Joe Burrow, but in clutch third-down situations, they couldn't bring him down, and we know they couldn't bring down Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whether it was missing the spin move, going for a strip and having no leg strength to combat that guy, and he torched them. He was earning it, and for every yard he got, I think he got 10 seconds of hugs on the sideline from people, and after they landed in Baton Rouge as well. So no, but, you know, I'm not saying Bama over the other three, like Clemson or Ohio State or LSU here, but, you know, I have trouble thinking that they're going to fall down below a lot of these other teams that they're jumbled up with in the one-loss region, or even Minnesota and Baylor as the undefeated still.
It's hard because it just happened, but if we could zoom out, with all that was on the line, with Alabama's history, with LSU's history at Bama, with Nick Saban's history at home in Tuscaloosa, was Joe Burrow's performance on Saturday one of the great quarterback performances of the last decade or so in college football?
Actually, yes, absolutely. And it was a Heisman ticket. I mean, it was the Heisman winning performance. And some of it was with his arm, of course, in the first half, a lot of it. But the stuff that the moments he decided to just run and wiggle his way up the middle and take on contact and slither away from it. But you think of the greatest quarterback performances by Heisman winners, and from these four losses that Alabama's had over the last decade, now five at home, two of them were to Cam Newton and Johnny Manziel in their Heisman winning years. You know, one, you had the Ole Miss game where every ball bounced Ole Miss's way. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would think that Joe Burrow is going to be looped into that packet of nugget land of football knowledge that Joe Burrow will win the Heisman, and like Johnny Manziel before him and Cam Newton before him, it'll be buoyed by a win in Tuscaloosa.
Adam Zucker, host of the various studio shows on CBS and CBS Sports Network. That includes College Football Today, the SEC on CBS, Inside College Football. Brian Jones, Kevin Carter, Adam Zucker are going to break down Florida, Mizzou, and Georgia Auburn this weekend on CBS. Two really interesting games in the SEC on the CBS Sports Network. Buffalo, Kent State, Louisiana Tech, Marshall, VMI against Army, Central Michigan, Ball State, and Cincinnati, USF. Big day and days there as well on CBS Sports Network. It is always awesome to catch up, my man. I'm sure we'll do it again here soon.
Yeah, dude, you too. I'll get my alarm set earlier next time. Okay. My coffee set. It just felt, the open felt so big.
Yeah,
I just felt like we were kicking it off, you know?
You're the best, Zuck. Thanks for doing it. All right.
See you, man.
Talk to you soon. Adam Zucker joining us from the SEC on CBS. I don't think that there's enough compliments, accolades, adjectives that you can use for Joe Burrow's day. Everything on LSU's season and the last decade rode on that game for that program. Alabama had shot past LSU. Alabama's offense was futuristic. Alabama was stacking national championships and championship appearances. Bama was dominating LSU in the division, dominating LSU in the conference, dominating LSU in the college football playoff. LSU had AD issues. LSU had quarterback issues. LSU had head coaching issues. The whole thing had completely turned as a mountain on top of LSU that they simply could not get out from being buried under by Alabama. And this game was in Tuscaloosa, where Nick Saban had lost four times. Four freaking times at home. And not only did Joe Burrow lead them to a win, Joe Burrow led them to more points than any opponent had scored in Alabama since Bear Bryant was on the sideline in 1970. He led them to more points in Tuscaloosa than any opponent had had on the road in Alabama since 1907. He beat the big bad Tide. He outdueled Tua. He beat Saban's defense. He embarrassed Saban's defense. He humiliated Alabama in front of their own fans with that performance. He threw for 252 yards in the first half, 400 total. He had 450 yards of total offense. And every time they needed a stop, Joe Burrow either completed a pass for a first down or ran for it. Every time. He flipped everything in one fell swoop. He flipped the whole thing, and he probably won the Heisman, and he did it in the most intimidating, historic venue you could for where he was, an LSU quarterback. You cannot say enough about that performance in that moment. And I always resist doing best ever type of stuff because, you know, we forget November games in 1998 pretty quickly. But in terms of everything that was stacked against Joe Burrow, what he did on that stage, I mean, that's historic type stuff. That, to me, is one of those historic, you remember where you were when you saw it, because you just don't see that very often. That was an unbelievably entertaining game. And as I said yesterday, what a buzzkill going from that game to the early slate of NFL slop this weekend. You know, the NFL's fine. It's like empty carbs. It's like empty calories. You know, games are close. A lot of teams are really jammed together. But, you know, you're watching games that you just know are not really played the highest level. I mean, they should be because those are professionals. But you're watching the intensity and the drama and the urgency and the high level of what will end up being probably 25 NFL players playing on that field on Saturday. And you're going, this is great football. And then you turn to the 1 o'clock games on Sunday and you're like, oh God, this is just a puke fest. I mean, watching Giants, Jets, Morass, I don't know how you did that in person on Sunday. I don't know how much money it would take to get me out to watch Giants and Jets in 40 degrees and that tin can dump in the middle of a swamp.
You know, in hindsight, you're probably right, but I had a great day. I thought it was a fun, entertaining football game.
Yeah, luckily for you, it was actually a lot of points scored.
Right, the game was fun.
Two
the Giants,
garbage teams.
The Giants sucked, Saquon sucked, but the beer was cold and the food was good.
By the way, I mean, after you melted down on Pat Shurmur, Patty Cakes, last week, after punting away and not realizing you can't get onside kick, you did the same exact thing.
Did it again.
Same exact thing.
And was asked about it post-game in the press conference, and his answer, I don't know if you guys picked up on this yesterday, was, well, you never know when we go to punt there, maybe somebody will muff a punt.
That's his rationale behind punting.
So finally, maybe my rant is what projected people to finally ask what the heck is going on with while you're doing this. He used timeouts with 4 minutes left. Once you commit to using those timeouts, you have committed to not punting, decided to punt, and his rationale, instead of going for it, and granted it would have been 4th and 19, I get it, was you never know if somebody muffs a punt.
He is so lost.
Get him out.
He is so unbelievably lost.
Guy might be able to coach quarterbacks, and he's done a good job with Jones. He cannot control the head coaching aspects of a football team.
One of our trashes coming from the First Lady of Trash Tuesday, Courtney, was on crazy baby names and kids' names, and I did not know how to pronounce one of the names. Josh in Arizona tweets, for God's sake, DA, it's Hermione. Hermione. Hashtag incredible literature. Hashtag the coldest to ever do it. I guess Hermione is a Harry Potter character, and I apologize. I'm a grown adult without kids. There's no way I can know this.
Who's still watching the Harry Potter?
Well, look, kids are. Kids are reading it. They're watching it.
No, that's the kids in 2002 were reading it. Not anymore.
I don't know what to tell you, but I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm a man. I'm 40. I got no kids. There's just no way I'm going to know Hermione Granger. Hermione. There's just no way. And you can't expect that here.
You don't watch anything but sports anyway.
That's exactly.
Or 85 Bears documentaries.
That's sports. Yes, that's exactly right.
Plus, that's a selfish name, too, as far as I'm concerned.
Hermione, fictional character in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, first appears in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I think we've all seen that. As a new student on her way to Hogwarts, her patronus is Otter. Her occupation is deputy head of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. Her blood status is obviously Muggle-born. Her Bogart is Professor McGonagall giving her a fail grade.
McMonagall?
And her powers are magic. So, if you guys were wondering, her blood status is Muggle-born. When we come back here on the show.
What?
Mraz's blood status is syrup.
I go.
When we come back, I'm going to give you who I think the committee should put at number 4. It's a Trash Tuesday. We'll take more of your trashes coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
You have somebody like posing as me. And she's, like, passed out at her desk, which I can understand because I do that sometimes. Because I do pass out at my desk drunk sometimes. But that's besides the point.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Drunker than you know how drunk I was.
Quote, I do pass out of my desk drunk. The Game Plan for Success, sponsored by Napa. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. And their Game Plan for Success, how about the Browns finally getting a victory this past weekend over the Buffalo Bills? They will host the Hot Steelers on Thursday night. Cleveland is just 3-6, so they need a late season surge to stay relevant. The game plan is going to have to center around Baker Mayfield, avoiding turnovers and not throwing anything Minka Fitzpatrick's way. Steelers averaging just 16 points per game, in their 4-game win streak. An amazing defensive run by the Steelers, looking like some old Steelers teams of the 70s, 90s, and 2000s. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that's Napa know-how. By the way, just want to say thank you to our D-Aliens who made our podcast numbers spike over this fall. We have done some incredible digital numbers here. And I think what that says is that there are listeners that want to go back and listen to the show every single day, listen to it again, or go back and make sure they didn't miss anything, or might have seen something online and said, I want to go back and listen to it, or just make sure that you are listening to the show when you can. And that's pretty awesome. You know, growing up in a day and time where if I wanted to capture anything in real time, I had to tape on a cassette tape on the radio or record on a VHS tape and go back and watch on the VCR. It's just awesome now that you guys have the opportunity technologically to just click a button and listen to whatever you want whenever you want to, and you don't have to miss anything. And so I thank you very much, because our numbers have really been amazing over the course of the last few months, and that means that you guys are going back and listening to the show and making sure that it's part of your day, and that's really cool. Full episodes of the show are available in podcast form by going to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, radio.com, and many other places that podcasts are available. Also, you can simply go to the website, cbssportsradio.com, to listen. By the way, I got really exciting news. I just went two commercial breaks ago to the break room to get myself some water, and I ran into Caroline, Chicken Pesto Lady. And I said, Caroline, we might have a new role for you coming up. I said, Mraz is involved in a bet, season-long bet, where if he loses, he would have to take the SAT in studio. She started laughing, and I said, we would like for you to proctor it. And in her beautifully raspy, sultry voice, she said, oh, I would love to do that. I actually once was a proctor. She said she had proctored exams before for private schools and the state trooper's exam. So how perfect. Mraz, I think you should tank in the picks against Super Dave, just so we could have Caroline Chicken Pesto Lady in here proctoring you.
You like that, big boy.
To take the SAT.
Now we don't want to have integrity on the show. I have to tank.
Have we ever had integrity?
No, sometimes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I love me a big guy that likes a sub.
Here's the thing. It's kind of a no-lose situation for you, because if you win, obviously it's pride and you win. If you lose, though, I know what Caroline's voice does to you. Having her standing over you in a pair of teacher glasses with a ruler demanding that you finish that test is all types of fantasy for you.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. What an experience.
You're right. That how long does it take the SATs? Like a half hour?
Oh, boy. Multiply that by 9.
But it's got to be enough for one show. I think a half an hour.
I don't. It's not a half hour. You think the SATs take a half hour? How many tests? Your education was such a mess. You probably did take fast food type tests in high school where it's like, yeah, it's like 3 questions.
Well, as soon as you were done, you could leave. I usually try to churn through some of the regions end of year exams.
You finished all your exams in a half hour.
I can't imagine anything took more than that.
No, I can't actually either.
I mean, usually it takes you like 15 minutes to tell all the idiots how to fill out like the front page with your name and your number 2 pencil.
I mean, the SAT takes a minimum
hours.
Of 3 hours. Right?
Hours, yes.
3 hours? Who has time for that?
Again, you just are...
what are you figuring out in 3 hours about somebody that they didn't learn all those years in school?
No.
That's no way to judge college.
So you think it's better to take a 30-minute...
Minimize that. You could get this in and out. That SAT should be... How many questions is it if it's 3 hours?
Innumerable. I don't know.
It's 200 questions. Sections, yeah.
Look, you take some of these things that we need every year to update with our company. That's 30 questions tops, and that's like an hour. 30 questions should be a max for any test.
But I like the idea that you think you can assess somebody better with less information.
Because people lose focus, Damon. After a half an hour, that's it. Your head is in the gutter, and you'll never be able to properly judge how smart they are that last 2.5 hours.
Well, now, what do you say to people that, I don't know, do really well on said tests or maybe go to Ivy League schools?
Well, it's like, what do you say to the guy who's really good at playing basketball in the park compared to Michael Jordan? Sometimes people are just more gifted at certain things. It doesn't mean that guy sucks at basketball. It just means he's not Michael Jordan. There's a lot of Michael Jordans at test taking.
But you're saying that everybody hangs their head, gets lazy, loses focus.
Most people do.
I'm telling you that there's huge swaths of the American population sure. that don't.
And they that's actually... why there's only one Ivy League conference. You think everybody in the SEC or the ACC has those kind of brains? If everybody was that smart, I got news for you. There'd be Harvards in every conference.
So you don't think there's any good schools in the ACC?
Smart schools? Okay, you got to be smart to go to Duke. I know that. I get it. I applied. I didn't get in. I understand.
You applied to Duke.
I wanted to go after this community
college.
You
applied to Duke?
I did. That was the only time I was going to go away.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think I'd get in, but I wanted to try.
You didn't think. You didn't take the SAT?
My cousin got a Duke. No, because I told you, after 2 years.
I figured you were a legacy at Duke. Is that where we're going here? Yeah, your cousin went there?
I tried. After 2 years of community school, you don't need SATs anymore. I applied. They just sent me.
You thought you were transferring from community college into Duke?
And that would have been the only school I would have went away for community shower for.
Yeah, that was it. That was your exception.
I got rejected from Stony Brook. There was a lot of schools. Old Westbury was the only one that would take me.
But again,
they took a chance. You're
the one to talk about the education system. Who's smart or who's not?
I just like this reality that everybody denied, all schools denied you coming out of community college, but you applied to Duke.
Stony Brook.
Again, Duke was the first rejection letter, so I hadn't known that everybody rejected me by then. Duke, I don't even think it got to them before the rejection letter got back to me.
Your resume and grades were so bad at community college.
They weren't bad. It was
that state schools said no, and you also applied to Duke.
Oh. I wanted to get to Cameron Indoor for a game. I figured the best shot was to get there.
State University Stony Brook said no thanks.
They didn't know what they were missing.
Your grades were so bad. Your resume was so poor. Your community service was so lacking. You were nothing. You were no type of candidate, and yet you used that same thing to apply to Duke.
Well, I mean, you look at some of the students there. How smart could they be? But now I know
really smart. That's the thing. They're really
right.
smart.
Okay, so they're smarter than me. The point is, they're not.
You think
they're not Yale? They're not Princeton. Like, those guys are the Michael Jordans of test taking. Is my point. Duke, most people are like me. Believe it or not, most people are like me.
Don't scare us.
I believe it.
That's why I'm relatable to the average DA show listener. They're like me.
Okay. In the ACC alone, there's probably there's 14 schools in the ACC. You couldn't get into any of them.
Okay. So you're telling me I couldn't become a Gamecock? Come on.
Okay, they're not in the ACC.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the SEC. You're right. I was thinking about Clemson.
And out of state, there's no way. There's no way you would get into those schools. No
okay,
way.
But that's the point. If we had like a big, I could get into Rutgers, I bet.
You didn't get into Stony Brook. Why would you get into Rutgers?
I don't think you could.
Stony Brook was more prestigious.
Not even close. Not then.
Grades-wise?
Not 15 years ago, whatever this was.
Have you seen their math department?
Have you? Have you seen any math department? I mean, my daughter's third grade math book throws me for a loop, so I can't even imagine what it would do to you.
Look,
can you solve for why?
Bottom line is this. I'm not. You're right. I've never projected myself to be a brainiac. My point is.
Except that time you applied to Duke.
Patrick's a drunk. I'm just trying to fight for the everyday man that we shouldn't have 3-hour tests. That's all. I have a platform here. It's wrong to do that to people.
Mm. It's wrong.
Yes. You should. People don't have brain functionality like that. You got to be. Test should be half an hour, and that's where you get the most out of people. Just like work days. We should get work 4 hours, nap, come back for 4 hours like they do in Europe.
This is also so amazing because you will spend 12 hours on the couch locked into football and you will never lose focus.
I mean, that's not true. I get up to use the bathroom.
Mm. Okay.
That's enjoyable. Stuff that's fun. And you think the people that are in the test taking it, maybe that's fun for them. I feel bad for them, but that's not fun.
Maybe they just have more mental discipline and focus than you do. Maybe you have none of it.
But DA, yes, I've been overweight my whole life. I don't think mental discipline has been a part of my repertoire. I'm sorry. I understand that.
Well, a lot of people do have it.
Okay, good for them. Good for them. I'm sure they're pioneers or engineers or whatever else in here.
Did you call him a pioneer?
I was trying to think of what job that would be, but now I realize a pioneer is just the first person to do something.
I like how, though, you're either a genius or you're a simpleton like Sean.
Or
like,
Mraz,
there's,
yes.
There's no in between.
Yeah. I can't say this enough or stress this enough on CBS Sports Radio. I represent the everyday man, the guy who doesn't want to take tests, who wants to skirt by the skin of their teeth and just live life that way. And there's more people like me than you think.
I can't believe Duke said no.
I mean, look, I moved on. It ended up being the best thing for me. If I had gone to Duke, I wouldn't be here with you guys today. Who knows where I would be? I'd be doing a show in Durham.
Could be a pioneer of sorts.
Right.
Duke's loss is our gain.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day. I was going to get to the college football playoff, but Mraz just derailed me. I had no idea he applied to Duke. This is just one of the most amazing things ever.
You paid the money to do it? You paid the like the application fee for Duke's?
I don't remember what it was.
So probably not.
That's an easy $90.
Easy.
Maybe I didn't send something with it?
Distinctly possible.
Did you just call them and say you wanted to
no,
go?
I wrote the letter.
You just
I mailed
emailed them.
Yo, Duke.
Hey,
I
Coach
forget.
K.
Honestly, it was a long time ago. I thought I just wrote like a letter applying.
DukeBlueDevils@gmail.com. I'd like to come. Let me know if that's cool.
Eat you sign, up with their eyes.
Sign Mraz. At Coach K.
I done good in community college.
At Coach K on Twitter. DM me. Follow me back for DM. I want to come.
Eat you up with their eyes.
All right, when we come back, as I mentioned, sound check and my college football playoff four. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Ben and this man together are magical. Write a check, cut the damn check,
boop, boop.
And we can entertain America. If you want it, write the damn check. Write the damn check.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Like Wu-Tang said, cash rules everything around me. You're straight cash, homie.
Happy Trash Tuesday to you, everybody. Hit us up with your trashes by dialing us up at 855-212-4227. That's a toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Or tweet at me, DA on CBS. We'll get to more of your trashes coming up here. Also, the DA show available on your phone, either to stream using radio.com, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or other streaming places. You could also watch us at watchda.com. Daniel tweets, I'm trashing Scott Zolak, the Patriots radio color analyst. It's one thing to be a homer. It's another thing to taunt the opposing team and be an insufferable jerk. I can't wait until he's on the wrong side of blowouts.
Warning, hazardous material.
Well, it's going to be difficult for a lot of the people that root for the Patriots, that cover the Patriots, that like to spit in the face of the opponents for 20 years because by default, you're going to cover a winning team. By default, you're going to be covering other teams and other coaches that melt down. By default, the Patriots are going to look smarter. Now, oftentimes they are, but it's real easy to just jump on that bandwagon and keep pointing your finger at everybody's eyes saying, you're stupid, you're losers, you're terrible, ha, ha, ha. And there's been a part of that fan base and a contingent of that media that has jumped on that bandwagon and done that for a long time. And you're right. I mean, when the worm turns, it's going to get ugly for them. And look, that's one of the reasons that I can't wait until the worm turns. Life is going to be a lot more enjoyable from a football standpoint when the Patriots are on the wrong side of bad losses and looking stupid. And then all the people that used 20 years of hiding behind the Patriots shield to taunt everybody else finally gets it coming back their way. Lonnie tweets, DA, I'm trashing you today. If you're going to talk about Harry Potter characters, get the name right. It's pronounced Hermione. Lonnie, okay, trash me.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know about Harry Potter. I've never read Harry Potter. I've never watched Harry Potter. I'm 40. I got no kids. What do you think I'm doing? What do you think I'm doing? I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. All right? Like, I'm not out there accusing other grown adults of not knowing all the characters in SpongeBob SquarePants. I don't know. It's a kid's book, a preteen's book.
I mean, once upon a time, I walk through Prospect Park in Brooklyn. I see 12 different grown men riding on brooms, throwing basketballs through hula hoops. And I'm going, what the hell am I looking at here? Somebody said, oh, it's a Quidditch tournament. I go, what? What? Aren't they supposed to be flying on the brooms? Oh, no, they're just recreating the Harry Potter sport. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm sorry. I don't know. Hermione.
To be fair, you weren't out of there because I distinctly remember a whole Instagram story about how amazing it was.
That is true. I was.
You hypocrite.
I was filming them and then putting it to NFL Films music on Instagram.
Correct. Yeah, but there was no, I'm out of here. Let's call it like
that. That's true. But tongue was planted firmly in cheek.
Of course, I understand that.
V strikes back tweets, D-A, it's pronounced Hermione, but don't get stuck on the O. Whoever told you how to say her name just pranked you. Pranked me? It's a fake wizard in a 12-year-old children's book. I don't care. I don't want to care. I don't know. The whole point that this was brought up was that the first lady at Trash Tuesday, Courtney, said that there was a girl in one of the classes, a young girl named this. And are we naming kids after Harry Potter characters? This feels bad. It feels not right. For the college football playoff standings, I would put Oregon at number four tonight. I don't think you can put Alabama at number four, and they might. I don't think you can. I think it's obvious LSU and Ohio State are 1-2 in some order. I think based on LSU's dominance in this game for so much of it and the way that they won, that's incredibly impressive. The best win of the season by anybody. LSU should be 1, Ohio State 2. That's the way that it is in the AP right now. Clemson 3. I would drop Alabama out of the top four because they don't have a really good win. They don't even really have a decent win. And they might get one against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, but that's going to be their only chance at this. Is Texas A&M a good win? I mean, at this point in time, I don't see how you have the evidence that Alabama is a top four team of the country if the best argument is, well, they didn't lose too badly at home to LSU. They gave up 46 points. They were down by 20 at the half. I just don't think that Alabama belongs at a number four. I also have a tough time putting Georgia at number four ahead of Oregon because even though Georgia has a couple of good wins, and no doubt you don't want to take that away from them, you know, Georgia losing to South Carolina, I mean, South Carolina is a disaster. Losing to them at home is a disaster. So Oregon's loss, at least, is on a neutral site to a good team in Auburn. I would put Oregon at number four. I would put Georgia at five. I just don't think it's fair to put Alabama at higher than that. We'll see what the College Football Playoff Committee says tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Anthony Davis on whether he supports the Lakers handing him some load management.
If I can play, I won't play. You know, that's my thing. I've been injured enough where I missed tons of games. You know, so I had plenty of low management games.
Hey, I'd prefer all players play 82 games into the postseason. That'd be great. That's just not reality. Good for LeBron, good for AD, good for the players that say I want to play. But I'm not going to begrudge Kawhi Leonard for sitting out or the Clippers for sitting him out, considering when it matters most, Kawhi is at his best. That's all that really matters is how he plays in the postseason and delivers championships. If he does that, sit all you want. Sorry, don't care. Bill Callahan names Dwayne Haskins, the rookie, the starter for the rest of the year.
I think we want to see a consistent progression in his play. We want to expand the playbook. I think we'll do that going forward. How much? We'll see. We face an opponent this week, Greg Williams, that has a pretty big inventory of pressures and looks and disguises that he's going to have to deal with. I think it's a great challenge for him.
Why they didn't announce Haskins as the starting quarterback before this is anybody's guess, but thank goodness they finally came to their senses. And finally, Matt Patricia on Matthew Stafford's injury.
Stafford practiced all week. He took a lot of reps during the course of the week. He felt really good through the course of the week, so that was all, you know, positive from that standpoint. We had some additional scanning Friday evening that took place, and that scanning really caused us to have some further internal discussions over the weekend.
Matthew Stafford was injured. They knew he wasn't going to play, and Matt Patricia was trying to play a Bill Belichick game with the media or with the opposing team or with the injury report, and he got nipped. Let's face it, you can't tell the team that Stafford's not going to play on Saturday and then not rule him out. And that's why they're in trouble, and that's why the NFL's on them, and I don't blame the NFL for being on them. Patricia thought he would play the funky injury report, be secretive Belichick game, and it came back to bite him because he's not good at playing it. You've got to not tell anybody that you know Stafford's not going to play, and then you're all right. But you can't tell the team he's out and then still list him as questionable. That's not how you play the Belichick game, Matt. And that is your sound check. Dixieland Dan tweets, please, dear God, watch a YouTube video to learn how to name to pronounce her name because I'm going to have an aneurysm listening to you pronounce it Hermione, not Hermione. How do you say it, D.A.? How do you say the word? I don't know. And now, since all of you guys are so upset that I don't know how to pronounce accurately the character in a children's book, I'm going to keep pronouncing it improperly for the next hour. That's that, okay? I don't care. Hermione, Hermione, Hermie, Hommie, Homie.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.